Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the PT Mata-Hari Department Store second quarter first half earnings conference call hosted by Mr. Michael Remsen, CEO, Mr. Richard Gibson, CFO, and Ms. Margaret Go, Head of Investor Relations. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, 30th July, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Michael Remsen. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our second quarter and first half 2015 earnings call. Thank you all for taking the time today to be on our call. Similar to last time, we will be recording this call and we'll post it on our website immediately afterwards. Despite the challenging economic environment, we are pleased to announce a strong second quarter performance. As previously discussed, the shift forward of the LeBaron period into June boosted our sales performance in the second quarter. Overall, same-store sales growth in the second quarter came in at plus 17.8%, bringing our year-to-date June same-store sales growth to 12.2%. Sales strength also drove improvements in operating leverage, which Richard will go into more detail just a little later on. Overall, our reported net income grew by 94% in the quarter and 79.1% for the first half. Of particular note is that we accelerated our store rollout program, opening an additional 7 stores in the second quarter, including 2 stores totaling just over 20,000 square meters of prime retail space in the heart of Jakarta. Our total store count as of June 15th is now 139 stores. Going forward, although we see resilience in our target market, we have concerns over the ongoing macro volatility and the weakening of the domestic consumption. As a result, we anticipate our 2015 same-store sales growth to be in the range of 7 to 9%. Now we'll turn it over to Richard, who will go into our results in more detail, after which we will open up the call for questions. Richard?
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone. Similar to our previous calls, at 4 o'clock Jakarta time, we posted 3 announcements to IDX and also to our website, our second quarter and first half unaudited financial statements, summary slides for our Q2 and first half results, and also a brief press release. I'll talk you through the earnings slides, which will take around 15 minutes, and then, as Mike mentioned, we will have a Q&A session afterwards. If you have any questions after the call, and once you have reviewed the detailed financial statements, please feel free to contact us on our investor relations email, ir@matahari.co.id. I'll now run through an overview of our results, referencing the summary slides that we posted to the website. So let's start off by turning to page 4. Page 4 shows the highlights of the second quarter. Our total gross sales increased by 21.2% over last year to 3,994 billion rupiah. We delivered a 17.8% comp store sales growth. Our merchandise gross margin increased to 36.2% of gross sales, which is 50 basis points over last year. Our EBITDA increased by 31.8% over last year to 683 billion rupiah, which is equivalent to 17.1% of gross sales. Our reported net income increased by 94% from 239 billion rupiah in the second quarter of 2014 to 463 billion rupiah in the second quarter of 2015. Our comparable net income increased by 55.1% from 299 billion in the second quarter of 2014 to 463 billion rupiah in the second quarter of 2015. If you look at page 5, you can see the highlights of the first half. Our total gross sales increased by 15.1% over last year to 6,875 billion rupiah. We delivered a 12.2 comp store sales growth. Our merchandise gross margin increased to 35.6% of gross sales, up 50 basis points over last year. Our EBITDA increased by 18.3% over last year to 1,009 billion rupiah at 14.7% of gross sales. Our reported net income increased by 79.1% from 362 billion in the first half of 2014 compared to 648 billion in the first half of 2015, and our comparable net income increased by 44% from 450 billion rupiah in the first half of 2014 to, again, the 648 billion in the first half of 2015. Page 6 shows a graphical representation of the second quarter of 2015. Just as I went through before, the gross sales were up 21.2% to 3,994 billion rupiah. EBITDA was up by 31.8% at 17.1% of sales, compared to 15.7% of sales in the second quarter of 2014. Our reported net income, as you can see in the top left, top right there, was up by 94% over last year to 463 billion. And adjusting for the one-off charges in the second quarter last year, our comparable net income was up by 55.1%. In terms of sales, if you look at page 7, we again saw strength in our private label business. Direct purchases represented 36.7% of our business in the second quarter of 2015, compared to the 35.4% in the same period last year. On to the next slide. As Mike mentioned, we accelerated our store opening program in the second quarter of 2015 and opened 7 new stores, including the 2 stores located in the prime locations in central Jakarta. So as of the end of the second quarter, our total store count is now 139, and our total retail space is 914,794 square meters. Given our success in bringing forward our real estate program, we are still maintaining our forecast of 12 to 14 new stores for the full year. And on page 9, you can see the geographic split of both those stores and of our future pipeline going forward. If we move on to page 11, we have broken out our second quarter and first half results. Again, just graphically representing here, you can see that the graph shows us delivering the 21.2% sales growth in the second quarter and the 15.1% for the first half. Page 12 shows our comp store performance. Benefiting from the 10 days of the LeBaron sales period moving forward to June, our comp performance in the second quarter was 17.8%, which, as I mentioned, gave us 12.2% for the half. Of the 17.8% same-store sales growth in the second quarter, 8.3% was from an increase in average unit retail, and 8.8% was from an increase in volumes, which is a nice mix. Of the 12.2% in the first half, 7.3% was from an increase in average unit retail and 4.6% from an increase in volume. Despite the resilience of our target market, the weakening in domestic consumption, along with a decrease in the consumer confidence index, which dropped to 111.3 in June, has led us to revise our forecast of overall same-store sales growth for the year. As you're aware, we have now completed the LeBaron sales period in July, and we are seeing some impact of the economic slowdown. And as a result, as Mike mentioned, we are forecasting a same-store sales growth of 7 to 9% for the full year. Turning to page 13, you can see the increases achieved in our merchandise margins. In Q2, this was driven solely by the improvements in our direct purchase margins. Year to date, our consignment margin is the same as last year. Overall, we delivered a 50 basis point margin improvement in both the second quarter and year to date. On page 14, you can see here, driven by the seasonality in Q2 and the resulting top line growth, we achieved very strong operating leverage. On a total company basis, expenses were 90 basis points lower than last year, and on a comp basis, 120 basis points lower. Our store productivity initiatives continue to mitigate cost increases, and we do anticipate this will continue as we move through the year. Page 15, we can see our EBITDA performance. In the second quarter, as I mentioned before, we achieved an EBITDA of 683 billion rupiah, which brings our total EBITDA for the half to 1,009 billion rupiah, which is 14.7% of sales, up 40 basis points from last year at 14.3%. On page 16, again, as I mentioned before, the reported net income rose 94% to the 463 billion in the second quarter compared with last year, and our comparable net income delivered a 55.1% growth. On a year-to-date basis, our reported net income rose 79.1% to 648 billion, while our comparable net income grew by 44%. Page 17 shows you our debt balance. At the end of the second quarter, debt remained at 700 billion rupiah, and our cash on hand was 694 billion. However, that was after making our dividend payments, as you can see from the graph. We still anticipate paying down all of our debt by the end of 2015 or early in 2016. The chart on page 18 shows our same-store sales growth by region. Due to seasonality, all three regions improved their performance in the second quarter. That having been said, we still see weakness in Kalimantan outside of Java. In fact, in Kalimantan, the same-store sales growth was a negative 1.5% as compared to the negative 7.5% in Q1, again, due to the ongoing impact of the coal industry shutting down operations. We do believe that this is likely to remain weak in this region for some time to come. The table on page 19 summarizes our financial performance for the second quarter and the first half 2015 compared to the same period last year. I obviously won't go into it in detail, but it's there for your reference. And so in summary, if you look on page 21, despite a weak economic environment, our target market continues to show some resilience, and we delivered strong results for the first half. As I mentioned, in the first half, the total sales were up 15.1%, same-store sales up 12.2%. We had improvements in both gross margin and operational leverage, and all that contributed to driving a significant increase in earnings. In addition to that, the company's store openings in 2015, along with the locations that we've already identified for 2016 and beyond, indicate that we're well positioned to continue to grow our market share going forward. So thank you very much for listening to us today. And now we will open it up in case anybody has any questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star followed by the number two. We'll pause for a moment to assemble a queue. Your first question comes from the line of Jamshed Dadaboy of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question on your same-store sales growth. Could you give us a sense of how much it has been boosted because of the Liberan effect?
Yes, certainly. So I think, I mean, the key thing to remember is that, you know, LeBaron did move forward 10 days this year. So we did get an additional pickup in the second quarter as a result of that shift. You know, without going into the actual specifics, because obviously the whole calendar plays into that, I think that it is fair to say that, you know, our revised forecast for the year of 7 to 9% really reflects how we see, you know, the full year playing out. And I think that that gives you a feel for the impact of LeBaron, not only as it related to the first half, but also, of course, how it is going to relate to the third quarter results.
Right, exactly. So what you're implying is that this quarter had like about 13 and a half weeks of sales bunched into it, whereas the denominator had 12 weeks, and then you'll have that corresponding effect in the third quarter. That's the way to interpret your revised guidance, right?
Well, essentially, the way to think, we look at LeBaron itself as like a 44-day period, which this year ended on July 17th, basically. So, you know, you can do the math on that, and you can see, obviously, the number of days that, therefore, we attribute to the LeBaron period, how much of that was in June. But, yes, I mean, essentially, you are correct.
Okay, and just on your same-store sales growth, you mentioned that there was an 8.3% price impact and about 8.8% volumes, right?
So does that, correct. Yeah.
Does that mean quarter-on-quarter you'll have taken about a 2-3% price hike, or is this just a mix effect that we are looking at?
You know, actually, that is an interesting question. I mean, if you look at the first quarter, on average, our average unit retail went up by about 5.9%. And again, in the same, so for the second period, as I mentioned earlier, it's about 8.3%. So for the first half, our average unit retails have gone up by about 7.3%. You know, we feel that this actually is a fairly benign increase, particularly as it relates to when you look at some of the other retailers, because we do believe that it's very important that we continue to offer our customer, you know, the best possible value. And because, as you may well be aware, you know, over 80% of our product is locally sourced. You know, we do have great opportunities to be able to pass those benefits on to our customer.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We now have a question from the line of Francina Wijaja of Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hello, Mike and Richard. Just two questions for me, please. The first one is, how did you increase the direct purchase margin, and how many more basis points do you think this will increase in the future? And the second question is, for this LeBaron season, did you have any new promotions and discounts to spur growth? That's it. Thanks.
We're still getting efficiencies of buying bigger quantities of merchandise. And we're having somewhat of a shift in the merchandise that we're selling by classification within the direct purchase area. As we've mentioned before, ladies' apparel is our most profitable area. It generates the highest gross margin, and it's one of our most underdeveloped areas. And we've been able to grow that faster over the last, really, almost 2 years now than the rest of the company. And we really foresee that that will continue to grow at a faster pace than the other classifications. As far as new promotions, there really were no new promotions that we put in place. We have a very balanced and regulated promotion program. As you're well aware, we have something going on every day, and it's really fine-tuned by store on a necessity. And that keeps, so again, we really had no new promotion initiatives other than we added some additional usage of our SMS Blast program, which gives us a very good return on investment.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from the line of Matthew Wibowo of Mandiri Securitas. Please go ahead.
Hi, Michael and Richard. Thank you for hosting the call. Just a quick question regarding the seasonality of Lebaran. So I was just wondering whether the Lebaran sales, the big portion, already happened in June, or it's going to be a good month also in July, because as we know, most of the Lebaran bonus only being distributed in July. So I was wondering the distribution between this year Lebaran sales between June and July.
Sure. So basically, as I said, you need to think about it as we look at it. So you need to look at the 44-day Lebaran period as it leads up to Eid al-Fitri. And when you look at it like that, about 30% of our sales in that period this year fell into June, and the balance would be in July.
Okay, so so when you mentioned 30%, it's mean the 70% will be in July?
About 30% of the sales of the 44-day period this year were in the June calendar month.
Okay. So the rest will be in July.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Another quick one. As you mentioned, the performance in Kalimantan was not doing very well. And I saw your pipeline going forward is still emphasizing outside Java. Will you be avoiding Kalimantan going forward?
No. Yeah, no. Not that we really have, I think, more than one or so stores slated for Kalimantan in the next year or so. But interestingly enough, although Kalimantan has come under pressure this year, interestingly enough, Kalimantan as a region contains actually some of our most profitable stores. So, and I think you're probably familiar with the economics of our store model. So it still remains a very attractive place for us to grow. But, you know, obviously we see opportunities all over Indonesia. And, you know, despite the current macroeconomic environment, you know, we're not making any changes in terms of our future growth plans. We actually see this as an opportunity to continue to grow our market share.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Adrian Joza of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mike and Richard. Just two questions for me. Hi. On the same-store sales growth, you mentioned that the increase in average unit retail was 8% in the second quarter. So I'm just wondering if, because this means like this includes the sales mix changes, and if I look into the sales breakdown, actually the direct purchase sales growth was like much higher than the consignment sales, and while actually direct purchase has actually much lower pricing points. I just want to clarify in terms of the 8% the connection to the 8% unit retail increase. That's the first question. And the second question is, can you share any details on the MatahariMall.com launching, if any? Thank you.
Sure. So just to kick off with the DP, yes, as you can see from the financial statements, the direct purchase side of the business did have a stronger half in terms of same-store sales growth than the consignment piece of the business. And actually, you can see the result of that reflected in the mix change that I talked about earlier, just in terms of, you know, the ratio between direct purchase and consignment. Having said that, despite the small change in mix, the increase in the average unit retail in the quarter and the half is fairly well balanced between the direct purchase and the consignment side. So, and again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we actually feel that this price increase is a fairly benign increase as it relates to the market generally. As it relates to Matahari Mall, we don't have any specific updates on Matahari Mall. However, we do believe that they are still planning to have their grand launch in September of this year. And so as we get more details, we'll certainly provide them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian.
Your next question comes from the line of Nada Darmono of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, Michael and Richard. Congratulations on your strong set of results. I have three questions. The first question is in relation to the import tariff announced by the government that is effective from 23rd of July. I am aware that you source most of your merchandise locally, but can you perhaps provide some color if there might be any indirect impact to your suppliers, which might push up overall prices because of the tariff? That's the first question.
There is some potential there, but we don't know what that is yet. It probably won't affect us until fourth quarter because piece goods and everything has already been purchased for third quarter, and the merchandise is already in production line. So I think over the next 60 days, we'll be able to give you a much better feel to that. Right now, we don't feel that's going to be there's nothing we can see that looks like it's going to be a significant impact on our business. But again, we'll have a better feel on that in the next 30 to 60 days.
From your knowledge, do you know if that's the tariff is only applied to regions or countries that have no free trade agreements with Indonesia, or it's broad-based? Any color in that?
There is some inclination that some countries that are in the free trade agreement are not going to be, the tariff's not going to be applied to them, but we're trying to get the answers to that right now. The government is still clarifying the position on that. So we'll pass that along to you, too. I wish I could give you more information about it today.
Yeah, I think on a positive note, like we were saying, as Mike mentioned, is that, you know, if you look at our direct purchase business, you know, well over 80% of it is locally sourced. And on the consignment side as well, it's very significantly domestically sourced. So, we are, to some extent, very insulated from the impact of these new taxes, with the exception, like as Mike said, of course, you know, some raw materials, which may or may not be included. Obviously there could be a little bit of indirect pressure, but as Mike said, we'll know more in the next couple of months.
Okay, great. Just on the second question, I noticed obviously that the Lebaran period this time is very close to back to school. Given that and also the weakening economy, you know, would you anticipate a weaker fourth quarter than usual is the first question. The second question is, do you anticipate any further price increases in the second half, or the price increases is almost as if you're front-loading where the demand is picking up and you're kind of, you know, catching the wave, if we can say it that way, while that wave of demand is still very strong and early in the year?
Well, as far as pricing increases, we always do our pricing increases based on what's happening with the competition and the selling power, you know, the economics of our consumers. So we're going to wait and see just a little bit right now on what we're going to do on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, you also asked about, LeBaron coming forward and kind of crossing over a little bit with back to school. You know, we don't really see a significant impact as a result of that. I think that, you know, now LeBaron is now finished, of course, so, you know, we can obviously look back. We have the benefit of hindsight. But we do sense a little bit of weakening in terms of consumer consumption. And so that's why we're trying to be a little bit more cautious And, you know, obviously we have very strong results, right, for the second quarter and the first half. But we do want to temper that with our view on a slightly more cautious approach in terms of our full-year sales.
Got it. And last question, if I may. Just on slide 9 on your future store rollout, on the future pipeline of 2016 onwards, that totals 66 stores. That's over how many years? If you can provide some color on that, that would be much appreciated.
Yeah, it's a good question, not easy to answer. Generally speaking, we're looking out at about 3 years, 3 to 3.5 years. Now, as I'm sure you can do the math as well as I can, obviously that gives you a much higher figure per year than the 12 to 14 stores that we would anticipate probably going forwards. The reason is that, you know, we do unfortunately get slippage. Some developers fall out. It's actually, frankly, one of our biggest headaches is being able to accurately project. Not the store locations are fine, but it's just a question of the timing of the openings. Can be a little bit tricky. So what we have done is we have adopted a strategy, in fact, over the last few years, is what we're trying to do is continue to build up our pipeline, because the stronger our pipeline is, then the more assured we are in terms of a nice roster of store openings year on year. As you also are probably aware, infrastructure in Indonesia has definitely lagged economic development. We do believe that at some point this is going to catch up, quite quickly at some point in the future as infrastructure develops. And I think that, the outlook for our growth opportunities over the medium and longer term, I think, are really quite exciting.
Yeah. Just to clarify on that, are those 66 stores, have you already identified the sites for them?
Yes, we have.
Okay, great. Well, that's all for me. Thank you so much for answering those questions.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question today, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll move on to our next question from Princy Singh of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and congratulations on a great result. Most of my questions have been answered already. I just had one question. Could you throw some color on your volume growth? Is it driven by more footfalls, or is the ticket size increasing, and how do you see these trends going forward?
Sure. It's interesting, actually. So if you look at the first half, because we don't want to just focus on the LeBaron period. So just to remind everybody, I said, we had a 12.2% same-store sales growth for the first half, of which 7.3 was average unit retail, and 4.6 was unit growth. And interestingly enough, it's almost exactly divided between an increase in the number of visits and an increase in the basket size. So that's quite a healthy mix. If you recall, because if you recall, in the first quarter, we actually had a flat or slightly, actually 0.5% off on unit comp, and that was driven by a slightly lower number of transactions. I think that obviously the second quarter is very positive, but don't forget, obviously, it has been driven by that LeBaron seasonality.
Certainly. And how do you see these trends panning out going forward?
Well, like we mentioned earlier, I think that, historically, for the last 5+ years, we've delivered a double-digit same-store sales growth. I think this year we're trying to be a little bit more cautious and to assist yourselves as well. We do believe that in terms of playing out for the year, we would think it's likely to be a range of 7 to 9%. I think that the balance between average unit retail and unit comp, you can put your own ideas on that based on historically where we're at, but I would suspect that average unit retail increase will be slightly higher than the unit increase, more based on just economic activity.
Understood. That's very clear. That's all from me. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Your next question is a follow-up from the line of Jamshed Dababoy of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a follow-up. How will your site selection policies evolve as Matahari Mall sort of builds out? The reason I'm asking this is that if you take more developed markets, e-commerce tends to a certain extent, cannibalize the stores, which means you end up with stores which are suboptimal, higher fixed costs. Is it just too early in the day to think about this issue? Or is it something that you all have started to build into your longer-term forecasts?
I think the way to look at it is it's actually interesting, because I think Indonesia is very, very different from a number of areas, particularly at the moment. We did a study that showed that if the infrastructure was in place today, that we should have well over 400 stores all across Indonesia. So I think that the way to think of it is that there is an incredible underserved market out there. And we see that, we think that sales through Matahari Mall will be largely incremental for us and will be geared for those areas that don't have access to a Matahari department store.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Your next question comes from the line of Adi Putra of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Richard. Thanks for hosting the call.
Hi.
Just want to say that I'm pretty impressed with the expansion that you have done year to date with 8 new stores before Lebaran. And my question is related with the expansions. What is actually really different between this year's expansion strategy and compared to last year? I mean, why you were not able to open more stores before Lebaran last year, and for this year going forward, will we see more front-loaded expansion as compared to in the past where you opened more in the four quarters? Thank you.
We'd sure like to do that, but I can't guarantee you that. Part of the reason we have more stores this year, if you'll remember, we told you at the end of last year we were very disappointed we did not get a number of stores open last year that we had expected, and some of those fell over into the first half. So that combined with the fact that we were able to come up with two opportunistic stores in the middle of Jakarta at the last minute really helped us on our plans. As we go forward, though, as LeBaron keeps moving farther up, earlier in the year, it's going to get tougher and tougher to get new stores open before LeBaron in any type of quantity. So I wouldn't look at that as if that's going to be a trend. I think for right now, you'd be safe to say that we will probably, going forward, go back to about a 60% after LeBaron and maybe 40% before.
Right. And my follow-up question would be, among the 8 stores that you have opened year-to-date, how many would be the split between the related party properties and the third party properties? Thank you.
Just a moment. We got that.
Maggie, do you want to?
Maggie, why don't you go ahead and take that since you got the numbers right there?
Of the 8 stores that we've opened already, 3 is from the Lippo Group.
Okay. And for the rest of the expansion plan for this year, is there any picture on like how many stores will be from the Lippo Group as well?
For the remaining ones, it will be, again, another 3 from Lippo Group.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Your next question comes from the line of Jenny Esman of Maybank. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mike and Richard. Thank you for hosting this call. I just have one question, because I see that the inventory day for your direct purchase actually has increased to 139 days as per first half 2015, and this is higher compared to historical first half, which range at the 132-133 days. Is it a concern for you, or you think that this range is still you're still comfortable with this range, and I just want to know what is the range of inventory days that will what is the limit that will start to raise your concern on this matter. Thank you.
Sure. So interestingly enough, so if you look at our inventory days at the end of the first quarter of 2015, it was 118. If you look at our inventory days at the end of the second quarter of this year, it was 125 days. However, the reason for the change and the increase in the number of inventory days is purely driven by the by the very large ramp up that we had in inventory at the end of the second quarter. Because don't forget that the second quarter, we're really just beginning the LeBaron period. So we front load all of the inventory into those couple of months in preparation for our sales in July. So, you know, so we feel that, you know, we feel comfortable with our current situation. Having said that, you know, just like any other retailer, you know, we're always trying to look at ways in which we can improve our inventory days.
Yes, but even if you compare with the first half last year, it still continued to see an upside trend, because previously, the first half 2012, 2013, 2014, it actually ranged at below 135 days. So is this a concern for you? Because I see that even on the moving average, it has gone up to 127 days. From, let's say, 3 years ago, 106 days.
Yeah. So we obviously spend a lot more time looking at this in a lot greater detail. But we're not concerned. You know, I think that the the inventory intensity buildup in direct purchase was far greater in the last couple of months of the second quarter as compared to if you look at the same period last year. In addition to that, we also had a significant increase in the number of new stores that were just opened prior, again, to the end of the second quarter. So at this point, we feel comfortable. But like I said, you know, it's something like every other retailer. It's something you have to watch continually, and believe me, we do.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Richard.
Pleasure.
Your next question is a follow-up from the line of Francina Wajaja of Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hello, just a follow-up question for me. Just wondering if you're seeing much competition from specialty retail. And also, just on the number of locations, how many of the second half locations that you've mentioned on the slides are already secure? That's it.
We are really not seeing any impact from specialty retailing right now. So in the, you know, the malls where we have competition that's come in with Uniqlo and H&M, actually we're having higher sales increases in those malls than we are in some of our other malls, because I think it's just driven more traffic to those malls by having the additional having them in there. So it's been a benefit to us as opposed to a negative.
As it relates to the balance of stores for 2015, all of the stores are secured. However, we're always a little bit cautious, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this if you look at our history. Where we're opening some stores in the fourth quarter, there is always the opportunity that there could be slippage into the beginning of next year. But at this point in time, we think that we feel very comfortable with the range of 12 to 14.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Your next question comes from the line of Thomas Hardy of Ruffer LLP. Please go ahead. Mr. Hardy, your line is now open.
Hi there. Thanks very much. On Mata Hari Mall, How are the finances, costs, and profits going to be connected to Mata Hari Department Store? Are you able to explain that?
We're not able to share those details at this time, but obviously, you know, down the road, we'll definitely be more than happy to share that information.
Okay, thanks very much. And then just a second question, kind of looking a little bit further out to 2016. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what your view might be on the SSG growth in 2016 and further forward?
That is an excellent question. You know, far be it for us to speculate too much. But, you know, I do think that, you know, I think that one of the challenges, you know, when you look at, and you know, the overall economy in Indonesia, I think that, you know, one of the aspects is that, you know, there's clearly been a lot of delay in government spending and infrastructure development in the first quarter of this year. I think that there is definitely a hope that the spend on infrastructure in Indonesia will accelerate as we move into, you know, the second half. You know, it's difficult to say, but I think that, you know, as we look forward to 2016 and beyond, I think that we would have to believe that, that this is going to be a positive for the economy generally in Indonesia. I mean, you know, obviously the World Bank did revise down its growth forecast to 4.7%, but that still puts Indonesia ahead of a lot of countries in the world.
Thanks very much.
Pleasure.
Your next question comes from the line of Jun Zhu of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, Maya and Richard. Can you hear me?
Hi, Joan. Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. So I have two questions. Number one is on still on the inventory days. So I understand that there is, you know, also intentional inventory intensity increase in the in-store for the to help with the sales, etc. So I just wonder, you know, going for what kind of inventory levels for the direct purchase inventory levels that you are comfortable with? Is it like a 130 days or even 140 days? You know, from the current, you know, 120 over days. From the current level. So do you still see that as a potential increase on your inventory days?
You know, I think that, you know, as I was mentioning earlier, that, you know, if you, you obviously, you have to really look at the inventory days on a monthly basis. So, and you need to try to do it and make sure that it's not getting clouded by seasonality or, you know, potentially the impact of the opening of new stores. You know, as I mentioned, the move from 118 to 125 in the quarter is almost all reflected by the buildup of LeBaron inventory for that period. I think that, you know, we would certainly not, you know, we would certainly like to keep our inventory days below 130 days. But on the other hand, we'd like to bring them down a lot further than that, too. Yeah, the more efficiently that we can turn our inventory, obviously, the better the impact that is on our margins, our cash flow, and everything else.
I think we mentioned to you last time at the last meeting that we have plans to put in planning and allocation next spring. We're working very hard on that to get that implemented, and at that time, we think that that initiative will help us be more efficient in our allocations of merchandise out to the store. So we're looking at that. We're not concerned about it because, remember, we're getting a bigger percentage of our business out of our direct purchase merchandise, too, which requires us to put more merchandise in the stores to do it. But as Richard says, we're always looking to improve it, and we think that the planning and allocation next year initiative will help us do that.
Right. And with regards to this direct purchase, I know it's quite successful, but in terms of by region, Greater Jakarta, Java, outside Greater Jakarta and outside Java, these three big regions. Could you give us some color, like how, which region actually, you know, favors the direct purchase the most? Meaning, where do you see actually the direct purchase is most popular and well received by the consumers? Are you able to generalize like that?
It's very well received, really, in all of our markets. It's just a matter that in some of our markets, you might appreciate the fact that there's a different income level that associates itself with some of the big cities like Jakarta or Surabaya or Medan, places like that. Jayapura, for example, has pockets of significantly higher income. But at the same time, you have to remember that most of the people are still in our target middle income group. So that's the reason we need our direct purchase in all of our markets.
Right, right. So this sort of somehow related to my next question is basically the outside Java. We see some, you know, continue to see some weakness in consumption in outside Java region, but this is still a region where you have most of your stores in. 40% of the stores are there. And going forward, that would be also almost half of your future pipeline would be outside Java as well. And if, let's say, this commodity cycle remains, you know, this weak commodity cycle continues to next few years and you continue to see the consumption is not going to pick up, I wonder what the company or management plans to, what kind of actions or measures that, you know, the company is planning to take in order to boost the consumption, the growth, especially from this merchandise strategy that direct has something to do with direct purchase or et cetera. Just can you share with us?
Yeah, I mean, without going into to too much detail, you know, at the moment, outside of Java, we are seeing the weakness really focused on Kalimantan. And to, like I said earlier, we attribute that directly to, you know, the coal industry. Just as an example, you know, our Sumatra, we had in excess of a double-digit growth for the half. So it does tend to be a little bit regionalized. And I think, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, given the strength of our store model and the fact that, you know, we often find that our stores outside of Java are more profitable, in fact, and have a slightly higher EBITDA margin than other areas. I think that, you know, we're certainly not concerned about our growth, the growth in our business.
Right. And could you just, one last question is just, you share with us in first quarter that Kalimantan registered about 7.5% negative same-store sales growth. And can you share with us the second quarter of Kalimantan, the same-store sales growth?
Yeah, in Kalimantan, in the second quarter, it was negative 1.3. Yeah.
Okay.
So, now, don't forget, of course, that did include the LeBaron period. So I think it's reasonable to assume that weakness in Kalimantan continues. But, you know, it's very, you have to, don't forget, you know, outside of Java includes areas like, for example, you know, Lombok. You know, where we just opened a new store. And, you know, it's really the first modern department store in that city. And it's being it's incredibly successful. So, you know, I think, you know, like with anything, it's a lot of it is about location, location, location. But, you know, obviously it's difficult to totally escape the macro.
And you have to understand that even in Kalimantan, where we're having some, you know, sales are not growing quite as fast right now and are being affected, we are wildly profitable in those stores, even at those lower sales levels. So it's not like it's they're losing money up there.
Okay. Thank you very much, both. Thank you.
So I think we just have time for maybe one or two more questions, and then I think we will have to end the call.
Certainly. We'll move on to our next question from the line of Herman Koswanto of Ashmore Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, Michael and Richard. Congratulations for your strong result, and thank you for hosting the conference call. Just have a few quick questions regarding your new target of 7 to 9% same-store sales growth. Could you share your view or a view regarding the potential crop failure in Java region due to the El Nino threat that had already come up to the headlines recently? Have you factored this threat in your numbers? And perhaps could you share which specific region that dragged down your same-store sales growth revision aside the Kalimantan region? And last question is that, may I know your what sort of rupiah or GDP growth assumption are you looking at from your new same-store sales growth target? That's all. Thank you.
So, obviously, when we're looking at our outlook for sales for the year of 7.9%, what we try to do is we try to take into account all of the known factors that we're aware of in the economy at the moment. So, yeah, the answer is, yes, we did take into consideration the revisions to GDP growth. We also spend a lot of time looking at what's happening in other industries, which I'm sure yourselves do as well. So, we feel that, taking all this into account, we feel that there will be weakness in the economy, certainly for the next few months. We do hope that as the as infrastructure spending increases, we do see that as a positive. But it's difficult at this point to see exactly when that would have an impact on our business. I think that, one of the things that we mustn't, forget is that, there are considerable tailwinds that we get as a result of our target middle income segment, that some other people may not be able to get benefit from. I mean, I think we have talked before about, the growth of that middle income segment. It is the fastest growing segment in Indonesia, and continues to be today. Again, the increase in urbanization, which will only accelerate as infrastructure spending continues. And then I think, finally, there is, again, and you can see it all across Indonesia, there's a continuing move from traditional to modern retail, and that can only benefit us too. So, yes, there are headwinds, but, there are also some very strong tailwinds out there as well. And our performance really largely depends on your viewpoint of how they balance each other out.
Okay, what about the specific region that really dragged down? Is there any other specific region that you're concerned of except the Kalimantan?
No, I think, it's really, like I say, at the moment outside of Java, really, the significant area is Kalimantan. I think it's interesting, looking at it from the other side, we're seeing tremendous strength in central Java. So, what we have tried to do with our overall forecast is to take into account all of those aspects to come up with our, with our viewpoint. West Java, for example, had growth that was absolutely incredible. So I think, again, we feel 7.9%, and typically we haven't really given specific forecasts in the past, but we did want to give you a sense of our feeling, particularly given our very strong first half results.
Okay. A follow-up question, out of the regarding your unit retail price, out of the average unit retail price, could you share the breakdown? What is the percentage of coming from the outright ASP increase versus the inflation factor?
Basically our increases in average unit retail, predominantly, do reflect, inflation. I mean, inflation itself, is running just over 7%. The balance is really driven by, mix changes.
Okay, got it. Sorry, one more last question. I just want to understand about your same store sales growth calculation. Do you take into account any if there's any bazaar or fair extension in the mall into your same store sales growth?
Yeah, you know, basically, you know, bazaars or, you know, for those of you that don't know, if we take a little bit of extra space outside the store, you know, it's basically very similar from year to year. But it, obviously, we include that in our in that sales in the sales for that particular store.
Okay, great, very understood. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. I think maybe one more, and then I think we have to we will actually come to the end of our time period.
Your final question comes from the line of Steve Wonder of United Overseas Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, Steve Wonder here. Congratulations on the great result. Just two questions from me. First one, can you, given that Lebaran is over, can you tell me your inventory level of this year Lebaran post the Lebaran sales and versus last year? Question number one, given the strong growth and strong profitability that you have outside of Java, especially in the new frontier city, it is only time when, say, a competitor would come in. Say, I'm sure you met Ramayana in various different area. Usually what happened, I mean, if, let's say, a competitor enters your new city. Thank you.
We're not able to provide financial information beyond our first half that we've published. So for that, I apologize, but you'll have to wait for our third quarter. I think as it relates to competition, I think that, it's interesting. There's only two national department store players in Indonesia. There's Matahari, and we focus on the middle-income segment, and then there's Ramayana that focuses on the lower-income segment. So in many regards, there's somewhat limited competition between us. I think that if you look over the last few years, Matahari has fared quite well, and, you know, we have been able to demonstrate increased market share each year, not only driven by the improvement in productivity of our existing stores that seems to have outpaced the rest of the industry, but also our expansion and our growth policy. I think it's fair to say that we opened more new department stores last year than any of the other department stores actually combined last year. So, you know, we feel pretty positive going forward. We feel we're well positioned.
Okay, thank you very much.
Certainly. Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks everybody for attending, and we'll look forward to talking to a lot of you, I'm sure, over the coming weeks.
This does conclude today's conference. Thanks to you all for your participation. Today's conference, thanks to you all for your participation. Today's conference, thanks to you all for your participation. Today's conference, thanks to you all for your participation. Today's conference, thanks to you all for your participation. Today's conference, thanks to you all for your participation. Today's conference, thanks to you all for your participation.